Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Dvar Torah, the show where we talk a few minutes on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. We are in Sefer Bamidbar, the last Parsha before Shavuos, the wonderful, beautiful holiday of being Mekabel the Torah, accepting the Torah, being given the Torah as a nation all those years ago. And if we look at the first Pasuk of Bamidbar, in Sefer Bamidbar, it says that Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai. Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai. Why are we told about where they were talking to Moshe? That where they were sitting with Moshe, where Hashem himself was talking to Moshe, God forbid anybody else, really where Hashem was talking to Moshe in the desert of Sinai, right in 1:1. So the Mechilta de Rashbi picks up on this right away and explains that the Torah was given to the people of Israel, the sources come from Chabad.org, in the ownerless desert. For if it were given in the land of Israel, the residents of the land of Israel would say, it is ours. And if it were given in some other place, the residents of that place would say, it is ours. Therefore, it was given in the wilderness so that anyone who wishes to acquire it may acquire it. Then the Pesikta de Rav Kahana explains, why was the Torah given in the desert? To teach us that if a person does not surrender himself to it like the desert, he cannot merit the words of Torah. And to teach us that just as the desert is endless, so is the Torah without end. It's the idea of humility, because Har Sinai was not a huge, imposing, great, big mountain. It was a very humble mountain. It was a beautiful mountain, I'm sure. And it was a nice mountain, but wasn't the biggest of all of them. And it wasn't the littlest, but it was to teach humility, that it wasn't such a grandiose thing. So too, we need to be humble. We need to have humility, just like Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble, filled with the most humility amongst all people. So too, we must be humble. And interestingly, the one description that's given of Moshe at the end of his life is that he was Eved Hashem. It could have said anything. He took them out of Mitzrayim. He did all those miracles. He took care of them. He was the leader and the judge and the king. And he was even Kohen Gadol for a little bit until Aaron took over. But it only says that he was Eved Hashem because it's about humility. And it also talks that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Even though he was the greatest leader, he was Rabbeinu. But that's humility. The Torah, also that it was given in the desert, that they were in the desert, teaches that as well. And then Rav Yosef Yitzchak of Lubavitch explains that it's customary that on the Shabbos before a wedding, the bridegroom is called to the Torah. Shavuos, the festival which coincides with the anniversary of the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, represents the marriage of God and Israel. This is why the Torah portion of Bamidbar in the desert is usually read on the Shabbos before Shavuos. We don't believe in anything such as coincidence. Everything is Hashkacha. Everything comes from Hashem. Everything is set up by Hashem, so it's no coincidence, but pure hashkacha and customary that Bamidbar comes right before Shavuos, just as the wedding of the bridegroom and the groom is coming at an auspicious time, and that's the time right before Shavuos, the marriage ceremony, and it's coming to the marriage ceremony, so to Shavuos, when Hashem and Bnei Yisrael basically were married with the Torah, that's the week leading up to that, so all about Hashkacha. But there's a few other things that we could point out, that we could learn from this idea. The idea that the Torah was given in the ownerless desert, the idea that the Torah is given to someone who's ownerless, someone who's humble, the idea that the Torah comes to us in the Parsha Bamidbar right before Shavuos can teach us also that the Torah, since it's given in the ownerless desert, the Torah can come to us even in ownerless land, even in land that's not ours. Right now, we are still, in Gullus. We are still not in our own land. We should be zocha to be in our own land as soon as possible, and we should try our hardest to get to Israel, to live in Israel, to be in Israel, to have Israel run through our veins and our blood vessels and run through our body as if we're tied inexplicably to Israel. We should be there. And I humbly believe that's one of the challenges of our generation. The mitzvah of the land wasn't given to us for 2,000 plus years. But now in our generation, not a very lofty generation, there were much more lofty generations. Think of Moshe Rabbeinu's time, Rabbi Akiva's time, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's time, and the Ramban's time. None of their generations were zocha to be given the land of Israel. But we are zocha to be given the land of Israel, and we're not there. We should all strive to be there as soon as possible. Obviously, if you have family or commitments, or you have something that you could do in whatever land you end up, then there's a reason to be there. But obviously, as much as possible, we should strive to be there. And especially during Corona times, I feel this message hits home. I say to my wife so many times, all the time, why aren't we there? Why aren't we living there? Maybe Corona came to teach us what's really important, what's really fundamental, what's really crucial, and maybe living there is one of the lessons that we're supposed to learn. Who knows? But anyway, the idea of ownerless, that even though we're not in the land that we own, we bring the Torah. The Torah goes with us wherever we go. It's said that Hashem, kevi'yachol, descended with the Jews to Mitzrayim. What does that mean, he descended with the Jews? The Shekhinah goes with you. Hashem comes with you wherever you go. Even if you're exiled out of your own land, it's ownerless land. You don't live and really own and breathe the land of America or wherever you are. Even if we buy houses, it's not really ours. It's not ancestral property. It's not one of the Shvatim that has families and individuals that own land, beautiful land of Israel. But still, Hashem comes with us. Hashem descends with us. Hashem is with us wherever we go, even in exile. And the Torah comes with us wherever we go. So even if we live in, quote-unquote, ownerless land, even in Golis, even in America, wherever we may be, the Torah should come with us. The Torah should stay with us. Obviously, it's going to have a different effect about learning it versus living in Israel and all the mitzvos, all the mitzvos that depend on the land that are fundamental, inexplicably tied to the land, but still it comes with us wherever you go. So wherever you are, wherever you travel, wherever you go, the Torah should come with you. With the invent of the smartphone, which is a brilliant invention given to us by Hashem, with the invent of the technology of the internet and all the wonderful devices out there, what are we using it for? We should use it for good, to spread Torah, to spread messages, to use it for shiurim, to use it to look at Eish and Chabad and OU, all these amazing websites that bring Torah, that bring inspiration, that bring things with us. So even if you have to travel to work, and we're not talking per se of Corona times, but in general times, if you're traveling to work, what are you doing on your phone? What are you listening to on your phone? What are you watching on your phone? What are you looking at on your phone? If you have some time every day, we have to be Kovei Ha'itim, take the ownerless land and take the Torah that goes and was given to us in ownerless land, to use it in ownerless land with the time we have. If you're traveling to work, listen to a shiur. That was usually when I would get the daf done. Much harder nowadays to find time when to do it, but it has to get done. Listening to the shiur, wonderfully expounded by Rabbi Rosner every day. But when you take the shiur with you, if you're on the train and you listen to it, it becomes an immersive experience. You're traveling through ownerless land, but you have a guide, the owner of Hashem with the Torah guides you and gives you the ability to traverse the land, and the trip comes so much faster. I used to be able to finish the whole daf on the train, and now it's so immersive, I can't even finish it. I have to try to finish it a little bit later. But when you're coming home, what are you doing? You could read a little bit of Parsha. You could read Eish. They have so many good articles. You could read Chabad. They have so many wonderful stories. And you could read OU. They can have so many great things. And Sepharia has amazing sources. Every site, so many Jewish sites out there. If we're traveling and we're traversing through ownerless land, then make sure that we own the time using it right. We could be in ownerless places, but we could be owners of our time using technology in the right way. So take that Torah with you anywhere and take it everywhere. And since the Torah has no owner, anyone can take it and everyone can learn it. A lot of religions, lahavdil, Judaism is not a religion, it's more than that, it's a way of life. But a lot of other practices, other religions, it's only really given to the upper echelons, you know. In the non-Jewish faiths, there are like the priests, and there's like the fathers and the brothers. I don't even know how it goes, but there's upper echelons, the people up in the church, or in the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Shindus and the Lindus and the Windus, whatever their names are. There's people all the way in the top, and it's relegated to there. But in Judaism, anyone can take it. If anyone wants to learn, whoever wants to come should come and grasp it. It's Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba. Anyone that wants to learn can come and can grab from it. That's the beauty of Torah. Even Rabbi Akiva knew this. When he had nothing and he knew nothing, when he was 40 years old and he saw the rock on the side of the road, he saw the water was making an indentation in the rock. He said, if water can make an indentation in the rock, then Torah, which is like fire, can penetrate my heart. And he started at the beginning. He started at the Aleph Beis, literally sitting with school children, learning the alphabet, learning about the letters, learning about the Mishnahs, and then the Gemaras, and Torah, and Tanakh, and the Navi, and Nevi'im, and Kesuvim. And he went up to become one of the greatest sages in our history, because anyone can reach the Torah. That's also why it was given in the desert. It's ownerless, because anyone can have it. It's not owned by any one person. The greatest sage and the most simple child can both learn Torah and can both benefit from Torah. Everyone can learn something from Torah. It cannot be that anyone would think that there's nothing to learn. Torah is beautiful and can penetrate into every heart. Every Jewish soul has something called a Pinta Legid. There is an ability to trigger the fire within our soul. Even someone very lost, even someone very unaffiliated, even someone very traditional, even someone that's not fully connected, there is what to learn, there's what to see, and there's what to gain from Torah. Torah is accessible to all because it is owned by all. It is not owned by any one of us. It's not written by any one person. It's written through the word of God, divine inspiration, through his prophet, through Moshe. It was written down, but then all the rest of the things were divinely inspired or written by different people because of Hashem, written out by Hashem. So since it's not owned by anyone, it can be gained by everyone. It can be attained by everyone. And also brings to mind the idea that since it was given in the desert, since it was given in a place that's an equal playing field, it's an equal footing, nobody owns the desert, nobody is better than anyone else. It brings me to mind the idea also how in Judaism, even though there are different sects like Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, the priests and the Levites and the Israelite, everyone is on the same field. It's so unfortunate that in society, in many other ways of life, there's hierarchies, how people are considered more powerful or more better than other people. People are treated differently. If someone, God forbid, arrests a celebrity versus someone arrests a regular Joe Schmo, somebody sees a 95-year-old coming to a hospital versus a 30-year-old in a hospital, unfortunately, there's a relegating of power, there's a relegating of authority, and there's not a concern for life. If there's not much productivity left to a person, unfortunately, culture and society won't do their most to help the person. I read an Aish article once that there was a person who was like 95 and had multiple heart attacks, had multiple strokes, had multiple problems, multiple physical disabilities, but they spent $400,000 on his recuperation just to make him better. If that was a regular Joe Schmo off the street, they never would have done that. In society and culture, they would have said, DNR this or DNR that. And they would have done this. I don't want to be political, but they would have not put so much effort into it. They wouldn't have done so much. But this person was the founding head of the ward of cardiac or whatever. He was like a huge, huge doctor, a huge donor to the hospital. So they did whatever they could to save him. Judaism does not say that. Judaism does not do that. Every single person is important. Every single person has the pinta leid, has the divine spark. Every single person deserves life. Every single person is a living Jewish soul, and every single person is all equal footing. We all have the same responsibility. We all have the same Torah, the same mitzvahs. Obviously, if you're a ger, obviously, if it's a woman or a Canaanite or slave or an Eved Ivri or a man, obviously there's different ramifications. And also if you're living in Israel versus not, there's different mitzvahs that you can do, but it's the same Torah that applies to everyone. It's the same way of life that applies to everyone. Shabbos in America is the same thing as Shabbos in Israel. If you're a Shabbos observant Jew and a Kashrus observant Jew, you're going to get meat the same way in Argentina that you're going to get it in America, the same way you're going to get it in Yerushalayim, the same way you're going to separate meat and milk in Israel, you're going to do it in America, you're going to do it in South Africa. It's beautiful how Shabbos is done the same way everywhere. Pesach is done the same way. Shavuot, Sukkot, Hanukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's on all people, and it's obligatory everywhere, and no one is better than anyone else. Everyone is held accountable. Everyone has to do the mitzvahs. Everyone has to worry about the averos, and no one is better than anyone else. Just because the Levim, the Kohanim, had different jobs than the Yisraelim doesn't mean that they're better, more honored, more above the law than anyone else. Everyone has the same law, which is not the same way in society, which is not the same way in cultures, and not the same way in other ways of practicing faith. And also, we should keep in mind, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Everyone has to take care of one another. If someone is drowning in the sea and the greatest sage in Israel is next to him, he has to save that person. Pikuach nefesh, you have to save a life. But if there was a great leading sage and a regular Joe Schmo, both of them have the same incumbent responsibility, the same mitzvah to save that same kid over there. If someone's load fell and there's the most respected Nasi in Israel and there's the most not respected person in the society, they both still have the same mitzvah to help that person. The king had to go by the law just like the regular commoner had to go by the law. How much more so he should have been protecting the commoner. The greatest sage in Sanhedrin and even the worst thief technically should really do the same things and should have to be abiding by the same rules, and he should come back from thievery, come back from any sins, but the Torah is accountable to all, and that's what we learn from Bamidbar, from the word desert. It's ownerless. We should take it everywhere. It's ownerless. Anyone can achieve it, and it's ownerless. We're all incumbent upon doing the Torah, learning the Torah, living the Torah, and it's ownerless, just like it was given on a humble mountain. So too, we should be humble in our lives, and as we come up to Shavuos, and we're re-getting the Torah every year, we should keep in mind all these ideas, take the Torah wherever we go, and live the Torah wherever we go, bring the Torah wherever we go, and try to keep the Torah with us in our hearts, and spark the Pintel Yid for all of us, as much as we can throughout our life. Join us next time as we talk the Audio DT with Reb T.